football fan were formed. There, watching the great teams and sharing the experiences with my family and the tremendous fans of this team. A generation of fans growing up rooting for the team did not have that experience, but the next ones will, and I could not be more excited for them.
That was Roger Goodell yesterday. I loved what he said there, and I'll explain why in a few minutes. On the show today, you're going to hear Chris Cooley's film breakdown of Josh Connerly Jr. We'll get to that a little bit later on this hour. Post-NFL draft odds are out and updated, and Washington's over-under on wins for the 2025 season have actually dropped since the draft. I'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. The big show was yesterday to announce the deal that Mayor Bowser struck with Josh Harris and the football team to bring the team back to D.C. It was a spectacle. It was led by the mayor and Josh Harris and, yes, the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell. It was a day that many thought would never come to fruition. There were many reasons why many people thought it would never happen. A lot of those reasons are now history. Number one, let's face it, the former team name, whether Native Americans felt like it was an insensitive name or not, too many non-Native Americans felt that it was, and that was a hurdle to clear. But that name's been gone now for 5 years. Dan Snyder was a massive reason that no one thought the team would ever be able to strike a deal with the city. You know, part of the irony of the $6 billion sale to Dan Snyder is he actually now has the money to invest in a stadium in D.C. The $2.7 billion that the team's owners and ownership group will invest as part of the deal. Snyder was in a spot in which I don't know that he would have been able to do a deal with the city if he had to come up with the $2.7 billion if he still owned the team. Look, his overall personality and disposition was a problem to begin with. But, you know, a big factor in yesterday's exciting announcement, and everybody was giddy, you know, in a different way, by the way, than the day that Ted with the governor from Virginia announced the move to Potomac Yards. There was a delusional giddiness in the room that day, not even understanding that there would be major hurdles to clear. Because that particular day, there was an air of this is a done deal. There was also an air of isn't everybody thrilled that we're going to be moving to this beautiful spot just a little bit away from D.C. in Northern Virginia when many were very much dead set against it. Yesterday's giddiness was shared by almost everybody. Not everybody. There are constituents, there are residents of D.C. that don't want this, and there are council members that don't want this. Phil Mendelson, the chair of the D.C. Council, made some media rounds yesterday, and he doesn't seem to be all bought in. Not quite yet. It certainly sounds like he is open to the possibility of a stadium in D.C. So there are still hurdles, but man, yesterday's announcement across the board was received very favorably by fans, by the DMV in general. Returning to D.C. is always better than leaving this city. But there was another reason that this happened yesterday. The other reason is 12-5, two playoff wins, a high-profile NFC championship game at Philadelphia, a season that was the biggest turnaround season the NFL has seen in many years, from 4-13 with literally multiple games getting absolutely blown out by their opponents in 2023, to 12-5 and the NFC championship game a year later with a superstar at quarterback. 12-5 and number 5 had a lot to do with the giddiness over this. It'll have a lot to do with the mayor's ability to pitch this and sell this to the people that she has to convince that this is good for the city. I'm not suggesting that this isn't as a standalone deal. the right thing for the city, that it won't pencil out in a favorable way long term, because I believe that it will. And I'm not, you know, anywhere near astute enough, or certainly I'm nowhere near having the kind of information that the people that cut this deal have to really know for sure. But I think sports stadiums in general are good for big cities, major cities, which we are one of them. To have a big stadium, by the way, aligned with the Capitol and the Washington Monument, those nights, and they are few and far between. Everybody understands that. This stadium isn't going to be used every day of the year. But those high-profile nights where they're playing in prime time on a Sunday night or a Monday night or a Thursday night, and you get those night shots of the stadium aligned like you used to with RFK, with the Capitol and the Monument, it is a source of pride. It is good for the city to look that way, and it's been missed for 27 years, not having a big-time sports stadium in D.C. And by the way, having a dump of a stadium 5 miles away in Landover. You know, we've already seen major concerts, Taylor Swift, etc., pass, World Cup pass. This area has missed major revenue-generating events because it hasn't had a world-class sports stadium. And now it's going to. But the excitement yesterday, the ability for the mayor to get this done, the ability for her to pitch it and sell it to the right people, it certainly helps when in 5 years there's a vision of a winning team and a Hall of Fame on the verge quarterback. Yeah, I said it. Moving in to the new digs. Now, if they had gone 5-12 last year and Jaden Daniels had fallen flat on his face and it was clear that they had made a mistake drafting him, would we still have this announcement? Maybe. Maybe, but it wouldn't be as easy to sell. That's for sure. It's on the mayor now. It's on the mayor to get this done with the city council. I think she can do it. I think she's pretty persuasive. She's an excellent communicator. And there are people that she's going to have to sway. And there will, I am sure, be some horse trading between the team and the mayor and some city council members. I'm glad it's done. By the way, the quote that we came in, Roger Goodell talking about a generation that missed out on what he experienced, what I experienced, what many of you experienced of a certain age. You know, Goodell's father, for those of you who don't know, was in Congress for many years. He was a House of Representatives. He was a senator. So Roger himself, and we've heard this over the years many times, spent a lot of his youth, a lot of his formative years in D.C., and he became a fan of the team. He's spoken about that many times. He's spoken about RFK Stadium and his experience of being in that stadium on its best days many times over the years. You know, the commissioner that he replaced, Paul Tagliabue, was also a massive Redskins fan, having, you know, lived in Bethesda and been a season ticket holder as well. But when he gave that line about a whole generation during the Dan Snyder years missing out on what many of us got to experience at RFK, it was a moment in which, I know I mentioned it right when we came back on the air after the press conference, but I think about that all the time. I think about that lost Skins generation. I have three grown boys, men now in their 20s, and they missed out. You know, all those years of me, you know, taking them to FedEx Field to see games and saying, you know, telling them what it was like when the team was great and what it was like for the city when the team was great, and the connection and the relationships and the gatherings of people from all demographic backgrounds. You know, the city coming to a complete halt on Sundays. And of course, the stories about the teams themselves. You know, the 82 team and the 87 team and the 91 team, but a lot of other teams as well. And even beyond that, so many times sharing stories with them about RFK Stadium and what it was like. I mentioned yesterday somebody sent a tweet to me saying they could still feel it, they could still hear it, they could still smell it. I've said that before too. I can still right now close my eyes and be back in that stadium and smell exactly what it smelled like and feel exactly what it felt like when it shook and rocked. The anticipation for a big game, the electricity in that stadium before a Monday night game against the Cowboys. For those of you that know, I mean, think about, you know, getting out of your car in the parking lot and walking towards that stadium, you know, on a Monday night for a massive Cowboys-Redskins game. And what it was like once you walked into that stadium and you looked through one of those tunnels out onto the field, the electricity was palpable. It was amazing. Now, winning teams have to, you've got to win to create those moments where the game is big enough to get a crowd to behave in that way. There was nothing like it. In my lifetime, there have been two venues that have been unlike any other, RFK Stadium and Kohl Fieldhouse. Those two truly were experiences, you know, on their best days, out of world experiences. Now, it's going to be different. It's going to be different in 5 years. It's going to be a, as they call it, a roofed stadium, not domed. I know that the pictures of what the stadium's going to look like have been going around. I was told by somebody last night, that's not actually a rendition of what the stadium is going to look like. They haven't had those renditions by architects done yet. Now, it may end up looking something like that. I would imagine it's going to, you know, kind of mirror SoFi, you know, translucent, you know, cover, roof, being able to look out, hopefully being able to look out and see, you know, the Capitol, although you're going to, probably going to have to be pretty high up in your seats to see that. But it'll be different because it'll be indoors. There won't be the tailgating situation. You'll be parking in parking lots, or you'll be taking mass transit if you didn't when you went to RFK. 65,000, you know, not 55,000. But I'm sure it will be beautiful. And the key to everything is bringing winning to that stadium. That stadium will sell itself for the first year or two. And by the way, it won't be cheap. PSLs, season tickets, it won't be cheap. I know Josh Harris has talked about making it affordable. We'll see. We're 5 years away from that. You know, a Super Bowl and maybe another Super Bowl trip with Jaden Daniels, you know, entering his seventh season in the NFL. That's what it would be, right? Seventh season. He's got five left to get to six at Northwest Field in Landover, his seventh season. Kind of for a quarterback entering his prime, you know, at 31 years old, the prime of his career. Imagine it is a Super Bowl contender and a recent Super Bowl champion entering that stadium. It's not going to be cheap. There's no way they can make it cheap with the cost being what it was. And it won't be cheap when you're there. But it'll be worth it, I'm sure. Still a hurdle left to clear. You know, the D.C. Council still has to approve it sometime this summer. That appears to be the chronological timeline. That's next. You know, a summer vote. In the meantime, there will be a lot of pitching, a lot of PowerPoints rolled out, a lot of decks rolled out to talk about the upside, the job creation, the revenue generation, the tax base, etc. This was Phil Mendelson, the chairman of the city council, yesterday. This is, how long is this answer, Max, and him talking about the deal?
This one, the first one he gives is about 40 seconds.
All right, let's play that one.
I am shocked that the deal has gone this far. And with some of the terms that I've just learned about, that there was no collaboration or briefing with the council. And I don't want to see a repeat of what we saw in Virginia. The commanders reached out to me late last week. We didn't discuss any of the terms. And I absolutely want to have an open door with the commanders. But trying to jam the council with a July 15th deadline when the mayor hasn't even gotten us to budget? Let me repeat, the mayor will be 7 weeks late in getting us to budget, and that it will be all-consuming for the next 2.5 months.
Yeah, I don't know how to read these things. There are people out there listening to the chairman that understand him and understand how these things work much better than I do. But certainly, I would imagine that it's not in his best interest or anybody's best interest on the council, which will have the final, you know, approval ability on this thing, to just say, I'm all in. Whatever they give me, I'm all in day one. You know, that's not the best leverage to create in what will be a negotiation over a budget, the 26, the fiscal year 26 budget, which will include, you know, at least $500 million for the development of this new stadium. You know, I had, I talked to Eric Flack yesterday after the show on my podcast, and one of the things that, you know, he talked about was, you know, there's been a lot of published reports about the actual expense to taxpayers, et cetera, in the city. And he said, look, the bottom line is if you add it all up, it's about $1.147 billion of public investment. The team has the rest of it, but it's the $500 million for what they call horizontal construction. You know, the vertical construction would be the actual stadium itself. $356 million for parking. That's $181 million up front and $175 million from future tax revenue. $202 million for roads, utilities, a capacity study, and $89 million for a youth sportsplex that they intend on building right on the stadium property. And that's essentially what the number will be for the city and its tax, you know, paying base. And that's what they're going to have to get the council to approve. There are currently only 12 members on the council. There are typically 13, but the Ward 8 council spot is vacant as we speak. So they need 7 out of 12, not 7 out of 13, to vote yes. Now, I think that it will pass. I don't think that yesterday was, you know, a Ted Leonsis, governor of Virginia, and all of the people, remember the tears that were being shed during that press conference, the emotions. I mean, it felt very final. It felt very much like it was a done deal. Why would they do that if it wasn't a done deal? But Virginia has been much more difficult to get things like stadiums built over the years. And Ted and others probably just very much misread not only public reaction, but the Virginia side of it and whether or not they were in position to actually do what the governor was suggesting they would get done. This feels different to me. It's a city council. It's a city. It's not a massive state. Remember, that massive state of Virginia, it's not Wizards country or Caps country throughout it. You know, there are a lot of different areas of that state. There's Roanoke, there's Richmond, there's, you know, there's parts of that state that probably did not want to help build a big arena for a billionaire owner. I think this is different. You're not leaving the city, you're coming back to the city. I do feel like it will get passed. I don't know anything other than yesterday seemed like a day in which they wouldn't have taken that step without a firm understanding that this was a sellable deal to the city council. But this is on Mayor Bowser, and I'm sure the team as well, to get it done. It'll be interesting. But yes, you know, what Roger Goodell said also, you know, the generation that missed out, they did miss out on a stadium, I get that, but what they really missed out on was having a football team mean something to the DMV like it used to. That's the bottom line, is the emotional attachment that teams create when they are winners, when they are run well, when they have good people running them, when there are memories that are shared. That sort of emotional attachment, that visceral attachment to a team ends up being a shared experience and a great thing for a city. And yeah, a generation, for the most part, missed out on that. Thank you, Dan. Somebody sent me a note saying, if Dan wants to ever save his legacy or be able to return to D.C., he should just throw in $500 million to the deal and just say, you know what? I didn't do a good job. I'm going to help out. Here's $500 million for the city to throw towards the stadium. Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath. It is pretty cool, though, that if this deal gets done, and I would put it at, you know, certainly 90% plus, we're less than 10 years away from hosting a Super Bowl. Our city, this area, hosting the biggest event you can host in this country. The biggest sports, the biggest pop culture event that you can host is a Super Bowl, and we are now less than 10 years away from hosting that. It'll be quite the week in 2033, or whenever it is. Maybe it's the 2032 season and a February President's Day weekend Super Bowl, by the way, after an 18-game schedule, and maybe even an expanded playoff after that. But we're less than 10 years away from a Super Bowl. No doubt about that. All right. When we come back, I got a what do you got? I am going to talk about something that I haven't talked about in a few days because of the draft, maybe almost a week because of the draft and because of the big stadium announcement yesterday. But I was up late night again last night, and I wasn't watching hockey. More on that next.